From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along. Greg Buck with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always chime in, too, at 844-967-2789. Thank you. That's what the number is.
Wow.
Monday. Whoosh.
844-96.
Party.
There it is.
You can call and or text if you're watching on the live stream. You can always leave a comment there as well on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Very excited to talk to our next guest. Kathleen Gallagher was a business reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Milwaukee Sentinel for 23 years, one of two reporters on the team that won a 2011 Pulitzer for the series One in a Billion, and she is now executive director of the Five Lakes Institute, working to grow the Great Lakes region's high-tech entrepreneurial economy and culture. Kathleen Gallagher, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. How are you?
Good. How about you?
We're great, thank you. I saw your article in the Journal Sentinel. This was just a couple of weeks ago. In the business section, Kathleen Gallagher, local officials are poised to let Foxconn off the hook. Here's why politics and development deals rarely succeed. And ultimately, Foxconn is off the hook now, right?
Yep. The Mount Pleasant Committee of the Whole voted to let them get out of their contract, and the Racine County Board of Supervisors seconded that.
So they just get this, Foxconn just skates away now completely?
Well, to be fair, Foxconn in the original contract had a right of first refusal on the land. So if they went to sell the land, Foxconn could say, no, we want to buy it, or no, you can't sell it. So Foxconn agreed to give that up in exchange for getting out of all its commitments.
So now Microsoft is buying this land.
Yes. And so they needed Foxconn to say, yeah, we'll let Microsoft buy it. So in exchange for that, they let Foxconn out of the contract. Just to clarify, the contract was that they would build the big screen factory,
right,
that they would invest $10 billion, and that they would create 13,000 jobs.
Which, and we're nowhere close to 13,000 jobs at that facility.
Right. And I would argue we were nowhere close on the day the whole thing started. It was never going to happen. I think most people would agree in retrospect.
Well, there were so many questions from the very beginning just about this company itself. And I can remember with great clarity doing a little reading on Foxconn as this was being kicked around, and their reputation within the business community. And there were reports that at some of their factories overseas, Foxconn actually had to put nets on the tops of their buildings to prevent employees from jumping off to commit suicide.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would have happened here, but no. Right.
But this is, that seems like a bad practice to me for any kind of company.
I mean, yeah, from the business side of it too, from just what we were talking about before, and on the business side, they have a huge reputation of coming into town, making a big deal, saying, here we are. People are like, oh, man, and then they're gone. They're done. They get what they need from us and they leave, and we're stuck holding the bill.
And wasn't that pretty much the case here, Kathleen? If I remember correctly, just a couple of months or maybe a year before this deal in Mount Pleasant was suggested, they had promised the same thing in Ohio, or maybe it was Pennsylvania, and did the same thing, made all these promises, asked for all of these concessions, and then they just went away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a Harvard professor who has done a lot of research and says that Asians look at contracts differently than Americans. They look at a contract as a first step in the negotiation rather than a binding agreement.
That's interesting. I also think, Kathleen, in the early days of Foxconn, there was so much floating around on how this was, in essence, just a campaign stunt for then-Governor Walker and then-President Trump, because if you'll remember, they all had their golden shovels at the right? And it's going to be the seventh wonder of the world. And
bring your kids.
Yes, bring your kids and celebrate. And none of that has happened. Were you surprised at all by the actions of the Mount Pleasant officials in all of this?
No, there was an election. There was an election last spring where a woman named Kelly Gallagher challenged the Dave DeGroot, who's the village manager now. And, you know, that was the election to determine whether people were going to put up with this or not. And Kelly lost and, you know, the status quo stayed. And there are a lot of politicians who, you know, were very vested in having it work out this way and having it look okay, that they didn't lose, right?
Right, right. Kathleen Gallagher is our guest, a longtime business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She now is the executive director of Five Lakes Institute, a new nonprofit working to expand the Great Lakes area's high-tech entrepreneurial economy. In your article, Kathleen, from a couple of weeks ago, so Microsoft is coming in now, and your article mentions water and how crucially important this water deal is to this deal. Can you explain that?
The data centers that Microsoft is planning to put there, they're basically server farms. It's a lot of, you know, essentially computer servers, and they get hot, and so you need to cool them. I believe Microsoft has said it will contain the water, that it won't keep reusing new water, but it will be. Microsoft has going on 6 data centers in West Des Moines, Iowa. And it's become an issue there, how the water's being used. Yeah, I mean, there have been articles about it, so we'll see how that plays out. I think the bigger thing, though, is, you know, we went from 13,000 jobs promised to, in West Des Moines, Microsoft is operating 3 data centers, and they have a total of 300 employees. So they've said they might have, I think the estimate is 200-some. Here, but it's not going to be a lot of employees. It's going to be the land is getting used. They'll be a good taxpayer. They're a good corporate citizen, but it's not going to be the jobs by any stretch that Foxconn was promising.
And Kathleen, do we have any idea of salary ranges for these data server employees? That doesn't sound like a $75,000 a year job to me. I don't know what that entails.
It sounds like a highly skilled job too.
I think a lot of the jobs are security and maintenance and some IT jobs. So, you know, I think the average Foxconn was promising was 56, maybe.
Yeah.
So
if it can be close to that. Yeah. Well, it will be interesting to see. And as you said, it doesn't seem like Mount Pleasant residents have an issue with this. I have a friend who lives down there, and I guess he will be delighted to see something happening on that campus, because I've gone down to visit him many times and it's just it's a wasteland.
Well, there's our beautiful orb.
You know what the irony is? I just thought of this, Greg, now that you said that. The orb, that Foxconn has always called it a data center.
Yeah.
And when you look at the original plans for it, there were some low-lying buildings where there were going to be data centers, but they never put in a data center. So now I guess Microsoft's going to fill in that part, huh?
Yeah. I mean, here's a question I have for either of you, for anyone who... Foxconn comes in, they make this big hullabaloo about what they're going to do for Wisconsin, for that area. They get Donald Trump, they get Scott Walker putting in their golden shovels, and now here we are, how many years later? What does Foxconn have there that works for them? Like, is what they're doing beneficial for their company in that area? Did they not build because they didn't need to, want to, or was this the plan, everything they're doing right now all along, just
get somebody else to step in and buy it out?
We only wanted to get this far, and what you see is what we did. And then that's another day's headache. It just seems like Foxconn came in and did all this stuff, and now it's just like, all right, they have some buildings, they have the orb, they have an office downtown. Is this seen as like, I don't know if a failure is the right word, or is this just like, nope, this is what they wanted to do, and now we're moving on, and Microsoft will take the baton from here?
Well, remember, in the big picture, you know, Foxconn's a giant company, and this is a small little piece of it. I, you know, it's been documented mostly by The Verge, the online publication. Mm-hmm. They spent a lot of time trying to figure out what to do here, trying different business ideas. I think now they're making servers, but it's unclear whether they had any plans at all. I do want to say, I think in the column I was trying to say there are lessons to be learned here. And the lessons to be learned are, politicians aren't economic development people. And anytime something like this happens where it's being driven politically, we should watch out. I mean, shame on us for thinking that Donald Trump and Scott Walker, who maybe were good at being politicians, in fact, you could argue they are, that they would come up with an economic development plan that would be reasonable. So that's the big cautionary tale here.
Yeah.
We need to stop being so trusting, unfortunately. And I think when people get into elected office, we may give them attributes that they do not actually have.
Yeah. Entrepreneurs are the answer. Entrepreneurs and technologists. These things need to be driven by those kind of people.
Kathleen Gallagher is our guest. We have just a couple of minutes left. Kathleen, let's talk a little bit about the Five Lakes Institute and what you are doing and what the goal is of your new institute.
We work a lot with universities around the Midwest, do programs for them. And I guess one of the things we've realized is Foxconn's a great example that we've let go of this stuff in the Midwest. We've let go of growth, and we rely on these old companies that don't change fast enough. And so what Five Lakes is trying to do is bring back that entrepreneurial spirit to our region, and that pushing it kind of idea where you're trying to disrupt technologically what's there and grow. That's how you thrive. You grow.
Where can people find your organization? Where can they find out more?
Our website is it's the number 5, 5lakesinstitute.org. Thanks for letting me say that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will get that up in our show notes after the show is over. Really appreciate your writing, Kathleen. You're a wonderful reporter, and good luck with the Five Lakes Institute. Thank you so much for joining us today. Stay with us when we come back. The word of the year. You're listening.
That's going to make you mad, isn't it? It's just making you mad.
It's going to make you scratch your head. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Take my phone out of the hook. It's off 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 the hook.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So nice to have you along. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in the studio, and Calvin is on the board. You can always check in with us at 844-967-2789. You can call and or text or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We have a show poll.
We do. Right now.
About tipping.
About tipping. So if you go to As Goes Wisconsin on Twitter. Oh, actually, nope. Poll is closed.
Poll is closed.
Poll is officially closed. We'll be talking about that more in a little bit.
Yes, starting at 11:33, tipping fatigue.
And that is just a way of saying, also, folks, go and check out social media, As Goes Wisconsin. We post in the morning. We post about our lineup, we're going to be talking about. All the social medias are As Goes Wisconsin. Yep. And essentially, we tried to do a weekly poll, gauge your ideas and thoughts, and we got some feedback on our tipping fatigue.
Tipping fatigue.
Is that an official title, or is that something you just made up when you went to a Chili's?
I think it's an unofficial title.
Okay, all right.
Tipping fatigue. So we're going to talk about that coming up at 11:33. Right now, though, the word of the year, I should say, words of the year, because it depends upon which source you use.
Now, I just have a question. Are the words of the year going to make you upset? Because if that's the case, that's welcome to another edition of Things That Make Jane Upset for No Reason.
Things That Make Jane Cranky. It's a long list. Merriam-Webster word of the year for 2023
is
authentic.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
It is?
Yeah, why not?
Authentic.
What's your problem with it?
It's not unique.
No, it's authentic, though.
Merriam-Webster.
What did you want?
I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the word of the year, but
then
I guess
you don't get to have like a deep opinion about it.
I would have thought it would have been something just a little more unusual, not something that's been
not authentic
that has been in our jargon for a long, long time. Merriam-Webster said it saw a substantial increase in online searches this year for authentic, driven by stories and conversations about artificial intelligence, celebrity culture, identity, and social media. One reason people search for the word authentic, it includes a number of meanings, including not false or imitation, and true to one's own personality, spirit, or character.
See, that's where I thought we would brought you to the half full side of the spectrum of this glass. Is that people being authentic and true to themselves, something I know you appreciate.
I do.
You always want to be. So to me, the word authentic being a word, like a great, very popular word, would make you excited.
I'm fine with it.
All right, folks, you heard it here first on Ask Goes Wisconsin. Jane's fine with something.
Okay, now this one I am not so fine with.
I don't even know what it is.
Oxford University Press.
Give it to us.
Has come out with their word of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And it is Riz.
Yeah.
R-I-Z-Z.
Do you know anything about that word?
Nothing.
Okay.
Calvin, our resident young person. Calvin, what does Riz mean?
Wait, let me ask you something, Calvin, before you answer that question. He'll answer your question by answering my question. Calvin, does Jane have Riz?
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
What, do I have a disease? What?
No.
What is
Riz? Riz is like charisma, I guess, like your ability to talk game in quotations, like pick up people for dates, like that kind of thing.
So it's very specific to dating culture.
It started that way, but now it's kind of just become slang for just cool and smooth talking.
Thus, Oxford makes it the word of the year because you got Riz, Jane.
So it's just a shortened version of charisma.
Yeah. And I also believe that Calvin paid you a compliment.
Thank you, Calvin.
There we go.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Sure. Yes, I do. Okay, yes. If he meant it authentically.
Of course he meant it authentically. See what you did there.
Is Riz something, Calvin, that you and your friends use frequently?
No. It's not. And I don't think anyone really does. I think it's more of like a meme, internet culture word. Where like it's
media.
Like a joke, like, oh yeah, you got Riz type of thing. And it's not even something people often say out loud. It's just typed more often than it's said.
Riz topped Swifty. It also beat out situationship.
That's not a word.
A situationship, an informal romantic or sexual relationship.
No, it makes more sense.
And Riz also beat out prompt. Not being on time. But the instructions given to an artificial intelligence program, as in giving it a prompt.
Very interesting things. Very interesting. I'm just hearing Riz as like what you were saying. It's like, I'm sorry, Miss Matinere, you have terminal Riz, and there's no going back.
There's no cure for it.
There's no cure for Riz. So go out in the world and just Riz it up.
You can't do anything about it.
Be authentic.
It's just be authentically Riz.
I honestly, you know what? I love it because you know, they aren't, well, I use the word authentic because it's a word, but like Riz, I don't use that word, but I love it. You know, who cares?
Oxford University Press says Riz speaks to how younger generations create spaces online or in person where they own and define the language they use. From activism to dating and wider cultures, Gen Z has more impact on society, differences in perspectives and lifestyle, which play out in language as well.
Two follow-ups to that statement from Oxford. One, don't get too comfy, Gen Z, on this one. They were telling my generation the same thing. They told millennials the same thing. They say to every generation who's young and hip. And second, a word like Riz, just what Calvin said, it's a word that started in the lexicon of young people, and now corporations, social media platforms, and influencers have co-opted it, and they have essentially killed the word.
I was going to say, Calvin, right? Once corporate takes it over, it's no longer cool, and now you got to find it. Now that it's the word of the year, you're going to have to find a different word.
What a sellout.
I don't even know if it was ever cool, to be honest. It was always kind of like a tongue-in-cheek thing, almost. At least that's how I have always saw it presented.
I think we need to have Calvin do more young person interpretations for us, or like...
Well, he's our translator.
Yeah. I mean, he's by far my favorite resident young person we've ever had. I mean, for a while, Kristen was the resident young person.
She was.
And now Calvin's come along and just filled those Crocs up.
He doesn't wear Crocs.
I do.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Coming up, tipping fatigue. Do you have tipping fatigue? Do you think it's too much? Do you feel pressured? Do you feel guilt? If you don't, if you're going through a drive-thru, it seems like everywhere you go nowadays, you are expected to tip. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We will kick that around when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you're in a public eye, give someone else a try. And you know you're going to watch your step, or you're going to get hurt yourself. Someone's going to tell you lies.
As a kid, worked for tips at Denny's. Fresh and fruit, fish and chips, busting ass for pennies. Now I am embarking on a T's Guild trip. Trapped inside a restaurant, wondering what to tip.
Good morning. Thank you for joining As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. And just a reminder as well, Kristen is joining us while she's on maternity leave every Wednesday at 10:30 till 11 o'clock. And we do a little update and find out what's going on with the baby, little Frankie Lou. So make sure you join us, and especially on the live stream, if you want to say hi to Kristen and get a look at her every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11. She is joining us, and then she's going to be back.
Soon. So, I mean, my gosh.
Just a couple weeks.
My goodness.
It's gone really, really quickly.
Can I just say something real quick?
Sure.
You've done a fantastic job so far.
Thank you, Greg Bach.
You're welcome.
Couldn't have done it without you. Certainly couldn't do it without Calvin. Couldn't do it without all the folks listening at 844-967-2789. So we did a poll
this morning.
There was an article that caught my eye from the Associated Press talking about tipping and whether or not people have had it, if they are fed up.
With tipping, period.
Well, I think because now it's everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have been posting rants on social media about being asked to tip at a drive-thru, and that has happened to me. There's a particular bagel place that I will not mention that it's just a drive-thru, and I have to tip. And then the screen, you know, she's like, okay, here's your payment, and then it comes up automatically on how much do you want to tip? 15, 20, 25, 30% now in some cases.
Who's doing? I don't believe that for a second.
But that's an option that's come up.
Well, okay.
And I think some of those things are starting to frustrate people.
Understood.
Should you have to tip at a drive-thru?
No.
Right?
But the thing is at the end of the day is you don't have to tip anything. If you don't want to, say no. What you're talking about and what these people are talking about is the judgment you maybe feel from them for not tipping them.
Absolutely.
That shouldn't concern you if you don't want to tip them. So who cares? I mean, like, if you don't want to tip, don't tip. But at the end of the day, remember, if you have any sort of compassion for people who work these jobs, some of them now are not living off the tips, but it helps support them. I mean, some people, I don't know. There's a certain place, I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to get yelled at. I generally don't tip at this place because I know they make good wages. And I also know the tips don't generally go to the employees.
Ah, that's a really important point.
I work at two places. We have, you can uses a system where you can tip. And I know that when we'd hand over the machine, you could fill it out. You could either do 10%, 15%, 20%, or custom. Or you could just say no. No, actually, no tip was an option. I'm sorry.
Oh, it was an option.
It was an option. No tip, 15, 20, 25, and custom or whatever. But no tip was an option. But at the end of the day, you don't have to tip.
That's true.
And if you don't want to tip, that's fine. You just have to get used to an 18 to 40-year-old looking at you like, but also at the end of the day, you drive away, they have forgotten you. They've forgotten about you. You're not a part of their life. You're making yourself way more important in their narrative than you are because they don't get tipped all the time. So if you want to throw them a buck or two.
That's interesting that you say that.
You want to throw them a buck or two? Go for it. You don't? That's fine. But it's not on. Your conscience isn't their problem.
I guess it never crossed my mind that there are people who never tip.
Yeah, never tip. And I'm talking like
if I made a habit of that, and like the example that I use, this bagel place.
Yeah.
If I went there every week.
Yeah.
After not tipping them for a month, I would be afraid that they're spitting in my latte.
Well, that's not their problem, my problem, or anyone's problem. That's your problem. You got to deal with that yourself. They stand to lose a lot more by doing that than by taking out some movie-esque punishment on you. So. Go to the bagel place. And you know what? Every once in a while, throw a fiver in there. You know, you don't have to do it every day. You have to do it every week. Maybe once a month, you just throw five in there. And that five makes a difference. So there you go.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Is tipping becoming overdone? Do you feel badly if you don't tip? Are you a service worker? Do you live on your tips? 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you want to say about tipping?
Good morning. Well, the problem is, of course, that it is still legal in Wisconsin to pay your server or your bartender, some of those professions, at something like $2.35 an hour. And those are people who are living on tips, but that shouldn't happen. I mean, it really shouldn't. People should be given a living wage. Mm-hmm. And yes, I realize that they aren't. And when there are restaurants and clubs that I frequent, and I always make sure that I do tip the bartender, the server, and the musicians if they have music.
Oh, good for you.
A lot of music.
Yeah.
No, you make a good point. You make a good point, Jack, though. There are those, again, waiters, waitresses, bartenders who are making just pennies.
Yeah.
But some of these other chains, this bagel place that I mentioned, is a big nationwide chain.
That doesn't mean they pay their people well.
I know, but they should.
That's not your doing, though. So like I said, if you don't want to, then don't.
Don't. 844. Thank you, Jack. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Scott from St. Louis. Good morning, Scott. Thank you for joining the show.
Good morning. As a former delivery driver, I will always tip delivery drivers and any waiters, waitresses. And one thing that many people don't think about but I've heard about doing is tipping mechanics, because I heard a legitimate, like a there's a TikToker, Auto Tech Mike in Michigan, who talks about, like, you don't have to tip your mechanic, but if you are willing to tip them, they will take much better care of you. So I've started doing it from then. But as far as, like, going through a drive-thru, doing a self-serve kiosk. Who am I tipping? The kiosk?
It's interesting that you say that, Scott. There was a place that I went to in Brookfield about a month ago, a breakfast place. So you go up and order. You have to wait for your food. Mm-hmm. You have to get your own drink. Yeah. You take it back to your own place.
Sounds like you went to a McDonald's.
But it wasn't. But the expectation is,
Yeah.
The expectation is that you will tip. And it's like, well, shouldn't you share that tip with me? Because I'm delivering my food to myself.
There are situations where I don't tip because I feel like you're doing the work you're getting paid for. And I'm fine with it. And the auto mechanic thing, Jack?
Scott.
Scott, sorry. Oh, sorry. Jack was before. Scott, I just feel that's very, that is a very highly skilled job. And I feel like the money that I am shelling out to any mechanic on any place on God's green earth, if I have to pay you more for you to take better care of me, that I'm sorry. That's just one. No.
Scott, do you know what the salary range is for a car mechanic?
But I don't know the range, but the way he was describing it was, and I had used to work at a dealership. I was doing photography for the dealership, and they would say the mechanic is taking care of the car, but then afterwards, they'll wash the car free of charge. They'll do full detail free of charge. They'll throw in extra things that you are not paying for because you're doing those extra things. And so it's one time, one guy got a $50 tip. Yeah. And from then on, every time he went in, they were washing the car, full detail, no charge.
Is he charging? Is he tipping them $50 every time? Because guess what? That's then not free.
Just the first time.
The first time. Wow.
I mean, that's the thing is, if they're going above and beyond and you want to do it, that's the crux of my whole discussion point here. I'm not saying you're bad or good. I'm not saying do or don't. I'm saying you have to choose and live with the consequences of your inner conscience. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But you can't say, tip fatigue, because no one's forcing us. There's no law in the land.
That's true. But you have to tip.
I should mention the poll we did, though.
Thank you so much for the call, Scott. Really appreciate it. Have a great day. 844-967-2789 if you want to check in on tipping and tipping fatigue. So we did have a show poll up.
I said, in a post-pandemic world, which got a lot of upset people on me, is tipping out of control? And 67% said yes, with an exclamation point. 18% said absolutely not, exclamation point. And I did have a third option, was I haven't really noticed, and that got 15%.
Interesting.
Now, I think if you talk to a lot of people who'd said yes to this, I think they'd be thinking the same thing you did, where it's just, you're right. The option to tip is just all of a sudden there everywhere.
Everywhere.
Because we have all these handheld devices that give you Grubhubs, you go yes. to toast machines. All these things have the tipping option. Doesn't mean you have to. You should, if you're at a bar, you should, like what Jack was saying.
Perfect. There are certain service industries, right? Where you really live on your tips.
There is one situation, though, that I do not like, and it is it's not a tipping. But there is a restaurant that I went to. I love this restaurant, and I don't want to go there anymore because now it's prohibitively expensive. I don't know if they still do it, which was post-pandemic or when they opened up. Sorry, everyone. When they opened back up, they put a 20% surcharge on everything you bought. So you'd order your food, your mm-hmm. drinks. You get the cost there. Then it was a 20% automatic fee added on it, and they posted it as this is to help our employees get health care and being things like that. I'm like, that's not fair. Just raise your prices. So I'm paying literally, and then on top of that, I'm tipping. So right. I'm tipping 20-25%. So almost 50% of the money I'm paying is going to no service whatsoever. I'm eating the food and I'm loving the food, but because you're the business and you don't want to pony up and pay more or do more, I have to cover it. That's
cover it.
Yep. Unacceptable.
844-967-2789. You can call and or text. Texter on the text line, a friend owes a deli. He has two employees that are paid full wages. The cash tips are split between the employees, not him. Electronic tips, so if you put it on a credit card or a debit, those tips are kept by the business to help cover those processing fees.
Whatever. I mean, as long as the boss isn't doing something shady where they're like, I keep all the tips because of this reason. I don't like that. They earn the tips, but if the employees aren't complaining and there's an understanding and the person's like, this is what I need to do. All right.
Well, I guess I'm just going to have to switch around my bagel places so I don't go to the same one where
just
I'm not
to
tipping
get out
too regularly.
$5.
That girl is going to look at me with great judgment in her eyes.
She ain't going to spit in your. She ain't going to spit in your bagel.
She's going to spit in my latte.
You've probably drank and or eaten more spit in your food in your life than you'll never notice because you never notice. Just like you swallow spiders when you sleep. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Greg Bach.
You're welcome.
When we come back, the Kennedy Center honors were last night.
Yeah.
There were some pretty great inductees.
Yeah.
We are going to talk about last night's inductees, some of the previous inductees. It's usually musicians, comedians, mm-hmm. authors, people like that. So some pretty great people inducted into the Kennedy Center. The Kennedy Center honors were last night. And then coming up shortly, we have the news at noon, followed by the one and the only Todd Alba with the Todd Alba Show from noon until 2 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. And he is followed up by Matt Flynn from 2 to 4, followed by Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6 o'clock.
It's a day of great
programming. It's a day of great radio. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Or maybe just a little slow. Did they leave me hanging? Were the water glass too long empty? Were they way too sanguine? Too obsequious for me? I must admit I'd rather get service for a song. But I'm thin-skinned and I make work. Will they talk about me when I'm gone? Just a tipping. Tipping them, I'm thinking about tipping them. Thinking about a tipping. About 5 or 10 cents too cheap. Even 20 cents too steep. Don't know how to get 15%. Should be on the receipt.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And you can check in at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching the stream on YouTube, Facebook, and or Twitter. Hello also in Hayward listening on WBZH, the Buzz of the North, and in La Crosse on the Eagle, WLCX. Also want to mention a new show, our newest show is starting.
Yes.
Nightlife with Pete Schwabe is going to kick off tonight. It airs weekdays from 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. And if you haven't downloaded the app yet, we highly encourage you to do so. Civicmedia.us. You can call and text directly from the app to any of the shows all across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I talk about that app more than I care to. My bosses will be happy. But I do because I'm just like, it's like, you can call, you can text, you can do whatever. It's wonderful.
It's pretty slick. It really is.
If we could, we'd pay your taxes. Not, we wouldn't pay your taxes, but there'd be a service on there to help you pay your taxes.
Where we would help you file.
Exactly.
Sure. Wanted to talk just briefly about the Kennedy Center honors that happened last night in Washington, D.C. Been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an opportunity for some big names in entertainment to be honored. So last night, among the honorees, comedian Billy Crystal, opera soprano Renee Fleming, mm-hmm. who looks incredible,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
She looks amazing. Bee Gees singer-songwriter Barry Gibb, hip-hop pioneer and actress Queen Latifah.
Heck yeah.
And singer Dionne Warwick.
And psychic phone enthusiast.
Oh, that's right. The Psychic Network. I forgot about that. The reason we played that bumper music was specifically at Greg Bach's request. So who was that?
That was the band Heart. If you remember the band Heart from the 70s and 80s and 90s. and in Nancy Wilson. They were performing Stairway to Heaven with their band with John Bonham, the son of John Bonham, Jason Bonham, on drums, while Led Zeppelin was being honored at the Kennedy Center in 2012.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. I get emotional when I hear it because it is one of the most beautiful covers I've ever heard in my life. It's about 7 minutes long, and if you're just having a down day and you want some inspiration, seriously, watch that. The voices, the energy. Robert Plant starts crying during it. It is spectacular. And it also just shows that the Wilson sisters, after 50 years, still rock harder than any 10 dude bands
hair
out
bands.
There. Yeah, seriously. So, yeah, I love that rendition. But that's an example of what happens. They're honored by their peers, their colleagues,
right.
their fans, and for musicians to get music played for them.
Yeah, it was a pretty special night. Robert De Niro apparently honored Billy Crystal because they were in the movie Analyze This.
And Analyze That.
At one point, he sang a version of It Had to Be You, but he lost the words halfway through and then started improvising, which apparently got lots of laughs. Rita Moreno introduced Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah is just unstoppable. She does everything.
So is Rita Moreno.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Rita Moreno is amazing. But, like, you think about Queen Latifah, she's been around for 30 years, and movies, TV, music, talk show, magazines, like, she just does everything.
And she
does it so well. She's just amazing.
Another great female rapper, Missy Elliott, said that as a teenager, living in what she had always been told was a man's world, there was Latifah calling herself queen and unapologetically insisting on ladies first.
Do you know what? You know how you could describe Queen Latifah?
I do not.
Authentic.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Kennedy Center honors last night. I was looking back at some of the past winners. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Absolutely.
Wow, I love it.
That's all that they were only inducted in 2019.
I mean, honestly, that's one of those bands I could see them looking over them completely. Just because Earth, Wind, and Fire,
their music still holds up.
Absolutely.
The music still holds up.
But that doesn't mean we get to choose them. So, like, when that's what makes me happy to see a group like Earth, Wind, and Fire get recognized by the Kennedy Center. That's amazing.
Yeah. Cher has been inducted or was honored.
Yeah.
Reba McEntire.
Love her.
Hamilton co-creators Lin-Manuel Miranda, which again, if you ever have an opportunity to see Hamilton or even just to listen to the soundtrack, it will blow your mind.
And I think that has to be one of the younger inductions because usually you get that induction around in
much later.
Yeah.
Good heavens, Mavis Staples, who's been around, and Al Pacino, who've been around since Dirt was invented, they were only inducted in 2016.
You know who else was? My boy Melvin Kaminsky. Does that mean anything to you? Been known by his stage name, Mel Brooks.
Oh.
Love me some Mel Brooks.
Yep, love me some Mel Brooks as well. Kennedy Center honors last night, Billy Crystal, Queen Latifah, many, many, many well-deserving, authentic.
There it is.
Artists.
I'll just say it's about Billy Crystal, one of the finest comedians ever. So very funny. If you ever had a chance... It's a comedy from the 80s. It didn't do a lot of money. It's not really talked about a whole lot. Him and Gregory Hines, Running Scared. It's a buddy cop comedy. A young Jimmy Smits is in it. It is so hilarious. I watch that movie at least twice a year. It's so fun. And Michael McDonald is the background soundtrack the entire time.
Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers?
Yep. Yeah.
What's it called?
Running Scared.
Running Scared with Billy Crystal.
And Gregory Hines. Yeah.
All right. I'll do a search for that.
Oh, yeah. Please
do. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, so.
All right. Stay close. We have the news coming up very, very shortly that will be followed by the Todd Allbaugh Show when we come back with you tomorrow at 10:30, as he is every Tuesday. Dan Schaefer will be here to help us recombobulate with the recombobulation area. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, everyone, for texting and or calling. You've been listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.